Good morning. Thank you for being here on this wonderful sunny day, as it is often in Texas. And today, we are blessed to have Clay Brantley with us, so please give him a warm welcome when you have a chance. I'm going to go over quickly our announcements, and we also have a speaker here, but before that, I just draw your attention to the pink slip in your bulletin with all of the upcoming fun stuff, including a crochet class on July 21st, right after breakfast, from 10 to 10:20. It's really not that long. Just going to cover the basics, and we'll be working with plastic yarn to create sleeping mats. So I hope you'll come out and have some fun with porn. Okay, we also have an announcement. Blair, come on up and let's have an announcement.
July 21st is what's going to happen July 21st? No, we're going to do the plar, okay? Crochet with the plar, which is the plastic grocery bags. But breakfast from 8 to 10 on July 21st, so you can come eat, learn how to crochet with plar. And then if you want to stay a little longer, from 4 to 6 p.m., we're having a fish fry. So it's going to be fried catfish, fried French fries, coleslaw, fried hush puppies, desserts, ice cream, watermelon spitting contest. But, of which most of that I'm not supposed to be eating right now, but I'm looking forward to it. But we need volunteers to help, and this is through the outreach committee. So if you would like to help, if you'd like to make desserts, we would love to have those. You have an opportunity to fill out that request, and we'd love to hear from you. But July 21st, and we're opening this up to the neighborhood, to the two churches that help us with the Saturday morning breakfast, so we could end up having a lot of people here to celebrate God's blessing of a summer. So instead of doing our fish fry in March, which is during right before Holy Week, it's in the hot part of the summer, so we're going to have everything good and hot with hot oil and hot fried fish. So we want everybody there on July 21st, and love to hear from you.
Will we be eating in the air conditioner?
Yes, if it's working.
And then the other announcements you'll see, we're already thinking about children and their needs when they go back to school. So the shoes, the school supplies, I see them coming in. And then also the grocery bags that you buy them in. That would be great too. For our prayer concerns, our joys and concerns, on the other side, we have the family and friends of Sarah Costandon, who passed away. Beck has been in the hospital. And in addition, we had today, Jason told me about Barbara Wyatt is in the hospital with infections. So I want to keep, yes, in rehab. And I messed up, I meant Jacob. Sorry. Pleasant Valley Rehab now. Thank you very much. Thank you for that update. Is there anyone else that would like to add a prayer, joy, or concern? Yes. Gary having back surgery to straighten up after many years of stooping. That'll be such a wonderful relief, so we'll keep him in our prayers. And Wayne?
Dave Berger?
Okay. Oh my, he had a stroke, so we'll keep Dave in our prayers as well. And yes? Wow, that is a joy. So Pat Seal is recovering, and we'll keep it in our prayers. Okay. As we prepare to worship, let us pray together.
We gather here.
us praise God here in this place of worship, in awe of God's steadfast love. Your name, O God, like your praise, reaches to the ends of the earth. Let the whole world rejoice because of your righteous judgments. Let us pass on the message of God's greatness wherever we go, so that generation to generation will know that this is our God who will guide us forever. Please be seated. If our actions mirrored our words, if our hands were mentored by our hearts, if we walked the talk, we would be God's children. But too often, it is our silence, our doubts, our fears, which tell others who we truly are. Let us confess to God how we have not been as faithful as we hope, as we pray, saying,
thanks be to God, whose love mends our broken hearts, whose hope sings in our souls, whose grace completely makes us new people.
Let us open our hearts in prayer. Holy Spirit, by the word of our Lord, teach us anew that we are one with each other through the love of our triune God. Amen. Today's epistle reading is from the 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 10. In your pew Bible, this is on page 185. I know a person in Christ who, 14 years ago, was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but not on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given in me, in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong.
Send me, Lord.
Send me, Jesus.
Gospel lesson today comes from Mark 6, verses 1 through 13. Listen for the word of God. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that he has been given him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their own hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. He was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and to not put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake the dust that is on your feet off as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them.
Thank you.
Before I start, I want to show you all my new stole. This pew here is my family. My brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my daughter, my wife, my son, and my son's girlfriend. So we were in Cuba recently, my wife Kristen, my daughter Michaela, and me. And Kristen and Michaela got this for me in Cuba. It was made at a seminary, Matanza Seminary, where they do some handwork. And so this was a Father's Day present that I'm wearing for the first time. So, amen, amen. It is good to be back with you. Last weekend, was in Lake Charles, Louisiana, for my high school reunion. And I was able to go and visit my home church, St. Andrew Presbyterian Church, there in Lake Charles. My parents don't live in Lake Charles anymore, and so I don't get to visit my home church very often. And I was pleasantly surprised. The sanctuary, it's not quite as big as this one, was almost full. And it was filled with people that I did not know. All of the people that were there when I was growing up have either died or moved away or left the church during the earlier unpleasantries. There were a lot of kids there. So when the pastor called the children forward for the children's sermon, there were 10 to 12 kids that came forward, a whole passel of boys and two girls. I thought, wow, this is unusual for Presbyterian churches. They are sending kids to Synod Youth Workshop, whoop, for the first time in years. And there were blacks there. When I was growing up in the 60s and the 70s, there were no blacks in my church. Not that we excluded them. We welcomed all, or so we thought. And yet, last Sunday, there were some Africans there who had found their way, and there were some blacks that were from Lake Charles that had become a part of that community, and it made my heart swell to be a more diverse gathering of people, the children of God. Yes, the energy was so good there. It was so positive. I was so pleased. Let me give you a little bit of a history of St. Andrew so you begin to appreciate. When I was growing up there, this was in the 60s and the 70s, I got out of high school in 78. It's a church of about 300. We had lots of kids, lots of youth. We sent kids to Senate Youth Workshop every summer. Then it had a series of what I would call weak pastoral leadership, in which you had pastors that would come in and leave the church worse than when they found it. Families began to leave, there began to be conflict, and the church dwindled down. To where in 2005, they had a designated stated supply pastor, because they couldn't afford a full-time pastor. She was a wonderful person. She was retired, an older pastor, but had a wonderful heart. Then Hurricane Rita hit. Now, you remember Katrina? Rita was the same summer and came in western Louisiana. And my home church, St. Andrew, has a the sanctuary goes up like this, and the back wall of the sanctuary is all glass. Rita blew that glass into the sanctuary and throughout the sanctuary, so that even the pipe organ at the front of the sanctuary had bits of glass embedded in it. And as they were trying to clean up from this mess and figure out how they were going to make their way forward, this wonderful retired pastor died. Suddenly, unexpectedly died. About January of 2006. Well, in the church at that time, there was a lawyer. Wonderful soul. Tough. And she had been through the lay pastor training that South Louisiana Presbytery provided. And she's offered to the presbytery and to the church, I'll be willing to provide some pastoral leadership to the church during this very difficult time. 13 years later, she's still the pastor of that church. And that church is transformed. So after the service, I got Nanette aside and I said, how do you explain this? I said, I visit lots of Presbyterian churches. And there are a lot of Presbyterian churches that are struggling with some of the same things that your church struggled with. And yet you seem to have this sense of do I use the word revival in the Presbyterian church? Something's happened here. What is it? Can you explain it to me? She said, I'll give you one word. Acceptance. Acceptance. We are a church that will accept you as you are. They recently had a 6'3" man who was transitioning to female that they welcomed and accepted into the love of that congregation. Now, I know a little bit about that congregation, more than just what Nanette told me, though it flows out of that acceptance. McNeese State University is right across the street from the church, and that church was founded in order to have a ministry at McNeese State. They never have until now. They have figured out how to cross the street and be present at McNeese, hosting events for the students, having the Presbyterian Fellowship, having meals. During finals, they have a kind of a week in which they provide support and meals and encouragement. They're involved in the needs of the community that surround that church. They have found out what those needs are, whether they be addictions, whether they be support groups, whether they be child care, and they have worked to provide that in a very loving and accepting way. Find acceptance, experience restoration, discover purpose. That's their mantra. If you go to their website, that's what you'll see. Find acceptance, experience restoration, discover purpose. And that church is alive, for which I am very thankful. Now, what does that have to do with the Mark passage I read? Jesus is at his home synagogue, and the people sitting out, they didn't have pews then, but that's what I always picture, you know. They're listening to him, they're observing him. Who is this guy? They know him, right? That's Mary's boy. And we know his brothers, and we know his sisters, and where'd he get his comeuppance? Where'd he get so smart? How can he do such wonderful miracles? Just who does he think he is? And they were offended by him. And Jesus could do no works among them except a few. And he marveled at their lack of faith. Now, the way that I describe those people in Jesus' hometown was they knew too much. They were what I would call trapped up in their heads. They knew who Jesus was. They understood what he was about. They knew what was possible. And Jesus wanted them to move out of that certainty, out of that thinking mind, into a faith that can breathe and see some possibilities and some newness and some healing. And I always can picture those people in the home synagogue going, yeah, right. It grieves me that I have been, in the last 3 years, in case you don't know, I've not served a particular congregation. I have preached in a lot of churches. I've preached around. And I've spoken at youth conferences and camps and that type of thing. So in my visits to lots of churches, Presbyterian churches, I have seen them struggling. I've seen them wondering about their future. What are we going to do? They've projected where they are into the future 5 years or 10 years, and they said we're not going to make it. And it grieves me because of their lack of faith, because they're in their heads. And they think they know how things are going to be. And there's no opportunity for new possibilities. There's no opportunity for some healing to break forth. There's no possibilities for some life to just overwhelm. Because I think, this is the Clay Brantley version, I think because they're trying so much to maintain control over what's going to happen in the life of that church, just like the folks in Jesus' synagogue thought they could control and box in Jesus and tell him who he is. I just think it's fascinating that it was a lay pastor who turned St. Andrew around. Tough-minded lawyer. Jesus, right after he has that experience at his home church, he gathers the 12 and he sends them out two by two. He gives them authority over unclean spirits. What are our unclean spirits today? Can you think of some? Addiction. That was the first one I came up with, addiction. Suicide. I would define unclean spirits as that which just seems to capture you. And it seems to be so much bigger than you. It seems like it's swallowing you up. Addictions, depression, the level of suicide. You know, the level of teenage suicide is the highest it's ever been. And you know who has the higher than teenage? Men in their 50s. Why men in their 50s? Because we were supposed to have achieved by now and we haven't. Or we have achieved and we thought this was supposed to bring me joy and happiness and it's not. Another one that I would name is racism. There is in our country, and I think we're having to deal with it, we're having to look at it, we're having to name it, that we judge people by the color of their skin more than we want to admit. And it's got a hold of us in the way that we treat one another. I hope and pray not in this church, but in our society, we are seeing it far too often. So Jesus sends out the disciples with authority over unclean spirits, and they are to preach metanoia. Now, metanoia is often translated repentance. In the Clay Brantley interpretation, that's not a very good interpretation. Translation. Metanoia actually means beyond the mind, get out of your head. We often, metanoia is repentance, you know, like you've messed up and you need to confess and come back to God. Metanoia actually means get out of you, get out of your thinking, get out of what your limits are, and be into God's kingdom, and be into God's life, be into God's breath. Wow. Turn away from you into God. Metanoia. And they were to heal. They were to anoint, lay hands on people, and heal. And many people were healed. Now, imagine if you were one of those 12. Jesus has called you aside, you and your buddy, and says, you have been given authority over unclean spirits. You are going to go out and you're going to preach God's kingdom, which is what Jesus was preaching. And you are going to lay hands on people and you are going to heal people. What would your response be? What would your level of comfort be with that? I imagine the disciples had a similar response. Well, wait, Jesus, that's what you do. And you do it well. You're really good at it. And we're willing to support and encourage you doing it. And Jesus is saying, no, we're going to multiply the efforts. You're going out. And I can imagine that first, did they have doors back then? I don't know, first house they knocked on, you know, just the nervousness. Let me tell you what I think the great challenge of the church today is. We have been given the authority of Jesus Christ over addictions, over despair, over racism. We have been given the command to go and preach in Jesus' authority. To heal in Jesus' authority, not in our own, in Jesus' authority. And we haven't accepted it. We haven't taken it. Who me? Who me? Oh, Jesus, that's what you do. I think there is within us both sets of people. The group that wants to say, there's really no hope for people with addictions. There's really not much you can do with folks who are depressed. You know, we've been wrestling with racism before the country was even founded. It's just part of who we are. There's just not much hope. I think that person lives in me. And then there's also that person in me that wants to say, yes. Yes, you are the Christ. And you are with me. And you are in me. Now, just imagine, picture in your mind how this church, through the work and ministry of this church, has brought healing to people. Has brought hope to people. Has brought good news to people. Has brought life to people. What I'm simply asking you to do is to see those places in which you wonder and you doubt and you struggle and you say, I just don't have a lot of hope for that. And that you see those places where you have a yes. And you say, Christ, it scares me, but I will follow you out of my comfort zone to where you send me. I'll go. Because when you accept people, what happens? You accept all of them. All of their issues, all of their struggles, all of their life. You accept them. And that's faith. That's the glorious faith that gets us out of our head and into deep breathing of our heart. Love. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
In our standing and in our saying, in our hearts, may we believe the faith we affirm this day together.
We believe in the eternal Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, that God and nothing created heaven and earth, and everything in them, to still hold to the rules and instructions of our house on earth, as our God and Father, because of Christ the Son, nothing will separate us from His love. We believe in Jesus Christ, the eternal Word and flesh. He is fully human and fully God, conceived by the Spirit of God, and born of the Virgin Mary, sent by God to reconcile the world to Himself. We believe that Jesus, in the events of His early life, made present in deed and in word the coming rule of God. We believe that through Christ's death on the cross, He took on the burden of our sins. Thanks be to God. He walked out of the grave, the Lord of life. He conquered sin and death. He ascended to heaven. He hears our prayers, leads our calls, and rules the world. We believe the Holy Spirit is a gift of the church. Jesus saves us in the Spirit, who renews our hearts, moves us to faith, leads us to the truth, stands by us in our need, and makes our obedience fresh and vibrant. We believe in the church sent to the gospel of the kingdom, to make disciples of all nations, to feed the hungry, and to proclaim the assurance that in the name of Christ there is forgiveness of sin and a new life for all who repent and believe. To tell the news that our world belongs to God. Amen.
Let us pray. Marvelous and gracious God, we come before you this day as your people, whom you have called out of the world into this place to be with one another, to love you, and to listen to your word. God, we pray that you will help us to hear that word, that you speak into our hearts and our minds. God, you know the places in our lives where we want to reach for safety, where we want to be the ones who say it can't be done, who can't conceive of healing breaking forth or new life breaking forth. God, we know that that is the easier path, to sit and to doubt. But, oh God, we also know that you call us into life. You call us into faith. You call us into a deep hope that is beyond us and in us. Oh God, we pray that you will help us to be faithful people who know that ministry happens beyond the walls of our own church in the communities to which you send us. God, we pray that you will help us accept the authority of Jesus Christ that you have given to us, that we will exercise that authority for others to bring healing and hope and forgiveness and acceptance. God, we pray for all those whom we have named in this service. We pray for those whom we've not named. We pray for those who are hungry and have no place to sleep. We pray, oh God, for those who are hurting, who are ill and sick. God, we pray for those who are facing despair unto thinking of suicide. God, we pray for those who are battling addictions and who are feeling the stigma of racism. God, we pray, we pray, we pray. We pray for Synod Youth Workshop that begins tomorrow. Pray that you will Bless all those who participate. Oh God, opened our minds, opened our hearts, opened our souls to receive your grace, to overflowing with good news that every person we encounter this week may know your love through us. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory
God tells us over and over in the Bible not to be afraid. Our gifts this morning are the one that we trust God, even in a world that keeps telling us to be afraid. We let go of thinking that we are on our own and live each day in graceful dependence on God. Let us gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise.
Thank you.
Please join me as we give thanksgiving to God. God of grace.
Before I do the benediction, I just want to do a commercial. I am willing, and I think Krista, I would say Michaela, but she's going back to college, would be willing to come and share about our trip to Cuba with you if we can find some time. If you feed us food, we'll be glad to come. Well, we'll be glad to come even if you don't feed us food. But we had a wonderful time. We went with a Grace Presbytery group, and so we're looking for ways that we can share about this marvelous trip. So invite us to come. There is too much hardship in this world to not find joy every day. There is too much pain in this world to not heal every day.
Each of us are ministers to a weary world.
So, shake off the dust. We are standing on holy ground.